created us for intimacy with himself, but we struggle in our movement towards that intimacy, longing for something more. This is The Soul Struggle with Janet Gosman, helping you identify the struggle, what brought you there, and how to move through it towards the intimacy with God our soul longs for.
Welcome to The Soul Struggle. I am Janet Bayless Gosman, and I am a biblical counselor and an international speaker. I received my Bible and counseling degrees from Multnomah Bible College and Western Seminary, Seattle. As we come to this last teaching in the series of Moving Toward Intimacy with God, the question must be asked, now, how do I actually do this? I would like to title this broadcast, Application, Assimilation, and Activation. How do I do it? Statistics say that when people go to a seminar or workshop, they only will retain 50% after the first 12 hours. If they try to recall it 1 month later, they will only be able to recall about 5%. In other words, we don't change by taking in information. We only change when that information has touched the inside of us and then put it into action. Let me repeat that. We only change when that information has touched the inside of us and then been put into action. Putting what we hear or learn into action is what brings about change. Often when we go to a seminary, we end up with information overload. We take home our seminar notes and never pick up our notes again. Or if we do pick up our notes to review, there may be a sense of frustration or feeling overwhelmed because often you can't remember vital information, so we give up. Very often, we don't know where to begin in order to make the change we want to see in our life. Not only can't we remember it all, we don't know how to go about implementing what we just learned. You have received a lot of information over the past 12 weeks. Let me make several suggestions on how to make that movement toward intimacy with God a reality and an enduring part of your life. Identify one soul struggle that particularly caught your awareness as you listened to the broadcasts. I'm going to enumerate them for you. The first one, we talked about knowing God's love in your gut over two sessions, your destiny, and what's in the way. We talked about trust over three sessions titled Trust versus Depression, Trust versus Fear, and Trust versus Anger. Then we talked about obedience, the self-focused life, deeper trust, loving people, and loving God. Please go to my website, soulstruggle.com, and click the radio tab to listen to all previous broadcasts in order to help you identify your particular soul struggle. You may have identified several areas, that's true of most of us. Don't try to deal with them all at once. There is a good possibility that you will become discouraged. Pray, and then choose the most important struggle that you and God want change in your life. Listen and re-listen to the broadcast. As you walk through your specific struggle, begin by identifying the issue that brought you into that struggle. Those are the feelings and behaviors. Our behaviors reveal the thinking about self and others. Let me illustrate. If I am driving down the expressway and another driver speeds by me only to swerve in front of me, almost causing an accident, how do I respond? If I believe he is a jerk and he shouldn't be on the road, my reaction will be one of anger and upset. If, however, I take the view that the possibility is that a member of his family has been in an accident and he is rushing to the hospital, what would be my reaction? I would give him space and whisper a prayer for his safety. What a difference in thinking, also in my blood pressure. What do my behaviors reveal about my thinking and beliefs? Observing our behaviors will help identify our particular soul struggle. Then identify your thinking. Be careful how you think about the material in relationship to yourself. If your thinking is negative, it will undermine what you were trying to learn and put into your life. So recognize those negative thinking patterns. The patterns will sound like, I'm just a failure. I never can do this. I'm no good. Nobody ever struggles like I do. I'll never change. I'll always struggle in this area. As soon as you do this, you have already shut down your mind to the possibility of change or success. Now let us begin with application. I'm going to begin with God's Word because God's Word will do God's work in your life. Read for your life. God wants to speak to you. How? Through His Word. This is His love letter to you. If you want to get closer to God, you will have to get to know Him. Relationships take time and conversation. There is no quick shortcut to intimacy with God. In order to walk through a particular struggle successfully, it will require God's Word and the Holy Spirit to be fully involved. We will never get to know another person or build a relationship with a once-in-a-while contact or communication. Building a relationship is intentional. Let's take an example of two people who want to get to know each other. They decide they're going to call back and forth. But when that person calls you, you say, I don't have time right now. I'll call you back later. But you're busy and you don't make the call. And when they call again, you reply, I really will get back to you later. Finally, you decide to set a date and get together in person. But those get-togethers are very sporadic. What do you think is going to happen to that relationship? Yep, that relationship will soon die. Building any relationship takes time. If you are sincere in your desire to move toward intimacy with God, understand this will require time. It is vital that you be in the Word on a daily basis. Recognize that God wants to meet with you. He is longing for relationship with you, but it won't happen without being intentional. Let me ask, how often do you eat? Most of us eat 3 times a day, and some of us even have snacks in between. We couldn't live without food. When my son was very little, he wasn't eating well. He would say he wasn't hungry. Do you know what we did? We took him to the doctor. Something was wrong. If you are not hungry for God's Word, check it out. Something is wrong. Because God's Word is our spiritual food, and we cannot live or grow without it. Many people believe that if they just go to church on Sunday, that is all they need. Then they wonder why there is little change in their life. They are deceiving themselves. Change does not happen by osmosis. It is deliberate and takes time. Find some good helps. A good study Bible, Bible dictionary, a basic commentary, or choose a study booklet and work through it. Personalize the Word of God. Be assured that God is speaking to you through His Word and make Scripture a part of your life. Put your name on those verses. Pray. This is not to be a devotional exercise. When it does become a devotional exercise, it is no longer biblical prayer. I'm going to give you an acrostic in order to aid you, but not in order for your prayer life to just be a routine that you perform. Prayer is spiritual work. Our human nature does not like difficult spiritual work. And so I'm going to use the acrostic PRAY. P, praise, adoration, and thanksgiving. Sometimes we have difficulty knowing how to praise Jesus or the Father, and I would suggest discovering the attributes of God and using them as a basis for your praise and adoration. I have placed a download on my website of the attributes of God. Jehoshaphat praised God as he went into battle. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, it tells the story of the enemy coming against Israel, and the enemy was much, much stronger. Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, and so he said, when I don't know what to do, I will turn my eyes upon you. And he turned his eyes upon God, and he gathered the people together, and they praised God. Do you know what happened? They went to bed that night, and when they got up in the morning, it said, the enemy were all dead men. God in the night had wiped the enemy out. Do we glorify God and express thanksgiving in the middle of difficulty or even a crisis? God is glorified by our praises when we do, and it lifts us. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Experiencing God does not happen when the focus is on me. The paradox is that I experience God when my eyes are turned away from my experience toward a movement of my heart in adoration and praise, presented to and lavished on Him. Only when I give up the me to look at Him will something deep inside know that God and I are experiencing each other. The R is for repent. Repent. Confess. Identify the sin in your life. If it's sin, there is no human cure. The cure is only confessing, repenting, and yielding the life afresh to the Holy Spirit. We cannot live the Christian life without total dependence on the Holy Spirit. A is for ask. Ask is supplication. This is simply when we make our requests to God. Often we come to God with the supplication part and the asking part and forget about the other parts of prayer, the praise, confession, adoration. Turn scripture into prayer, such as in Exodus 20, verse 3. It says, you shall have no other gods before me. Pray, Lord Jesus, show me any idols or gods I might have in my life, and keep me from anything that keeps me from putting you first in my life. I would like to make a comment in regard to doing prayer right. Prayer is about relationship. It is talking to God about everything. As you open your heart to Him and express all your concerns, cares, feelings, etc., you will begin to enjoy the sense of His presence. Formulas do not relationship make. The above acrostic is simply a help that can be incorporated into your prayer life. I personally have found this acrostic helpful in helping me to focus when I find my mind beginning to wander. If I were in His physical presence, I'm sure I would be absolutely present. Remember reading the Psalms? David expressed all his frustration, his fears, and his anger to God, and then he reaffirmed his total trust in God. Y is for yield. This is the surrender of my day and my way to God. Not my will, but thine be done. The second step is assimilation. We talked about application. Now we'll talk about assimilation. Find scriptures that apply to your particular struggle. You might do this by using scriptures used in the broadcast, or you may go to a concordance or topical Bible and look up words that apply to your struggle. Once you have identified your particular struggle, scriptures are vital to the change you desire. Memorize scripture. If it's not in there, you can't pull it out when you need it. If you are struggling in an area, find scriptures that relate to that problem and memorize several verses. They make a good weapon against the enemy. Remember, Jesus used only scripture against Satan in the wilderness. He didn't use his own arguments. Scriptures that relate to your particular struggle will only bring about change if you assimilate them into your life. This means memorizing them and then applying them. You apply them by bringing them to the forefront of your mind when situations occur. Remember my example of my struggle with trust versus fear in regard to cancer. I had memorized scripture, and because I had it in me, I was able to bring it to mind whenever fear tried to take control of my emotions. I quoted the scripture, believed it, and trusted in it, and the fear was gone. Let me give a more recent example. When I was invited to broadcast this series, I had never had any experience with radio other than a brief call-in program in Texas. On my way to the station this time, I felt my stomach begin to churn and my body tense up. I was a bit shaky. When I arrived at the station, and before I rang the bell for admittance, I began to quote Isaiah 41:10. I had memorized it and put it into my life. "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." I knew God was in this, and in that moment I put it in his hands. Then I rang the bell. When I entered, the apprehension and anxiety began to melt away. It is when we assimilate it into our lives and then apply it to a particular situation that it becomes real and begins to change things deep within. We assimilate through repetition. When you identify your struggle, find those scriptures that relate to that struggle and memorize them. Repeat and repeat them. Put them into your mind so that you can bring them up at will whenever a situation arises. Meditate. This is not a bad word or a New Age word. It is a biblical word. It is used in the Psalms. What does it mean? It means we bring up a thought about God or a scripture and we think on it, ponder it, journal it. Yes, journal your meditations. Psalm 19:14 says, "May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer." What does your heart meditate on? Is it God or is it money, things, entertainment? Another way to assimilate is through listening prayer. There is more to prayer than praise and asking. There is the wonderful experience of listening prayer. God speaks to us in several ways and means. He speaks to us through the Holy Spirit in our heart, through our conscience, through Scripture, and when in prayer or meditation. Get quiet before God. Turn your thoughts to Him and request Him to speak to you. I usually have pen and paper and just write what comes to mind, but first and foremost, I ask that my thoughts be covered by the blood of Jesus and only His words come to my mind. I do not want to hear Satan's voice or my own voice. I often find it quite amazing what He says to me. The words that come to my mind are never apart from what Scripture would say to me. He would not speak some wild insights that have no basis in Scripture, so I would caution you to be careful here. But when I write it, it becomes personal between God and myself. I would recommend the book Listening Prayer by Leanne Payne. Worship is another way we assimilate. We worship God in private. We communicate our heart to Him. We sing to Him. We use worship music. Once when I was worshiping with praise music, I became so enthusiastic and quickly raised my hands up to God. And in my enthusiasm for God, I broke my hanging lamp. But that incident has kept alive the remembrance of my excitement and adoration in that moment of sheer enthusiasm for worship of my God and Savior, Jesus. David knew how to worship God. Read the Psalms for an example of worship. Another way to assimilate is worshiping with God's people. You cannot do it by yourself. Also, remember, all through the Old Testament, God tells the nation of Israel to remember the wondrous works of God in their journey. We must also remember the wondrous works God has done along our journey. Journal the events where God has done something special. Include all the small things because nothing is small in God's eyes. We remember by journaling, so journal, journal, journal. We can go back and we can read our journals. David journaled. The Psalms are a record of David's journals. He cries for help when he journaled, which gave him evidence later that he could see how God had answered those prayers. David wrote his prayers, his requests, and his worship. Imagine for a moment David as a shepherd boy taking care of his sheep in the dark of night. As he lay there on the ground looking up into the heavens, he began writing and singing Psalm 19:1-3. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. David was worshiping by adoring God in his creation, and how the heavens declare the very existence of God to the whole earth. Not only was he worshiping, I'm sure he was meditating on the wonder of it all. Last of all, let's look at activation. Activation is sharing what you have learned. This is very important. What is activation? I pondered this a lot. And as an example, I thought about your computer or your phone. It will not work until it is activated. Yeah, it might turn on, but it doesn't have any output. The screen is blank. First, there has to be a connection with your server. Our connection with God is through the Holy Spirit. But if the connection is broken, there is no response. And sin will break the connection in our life. But then there is activation, and this is what I will call output. If your screen is blank, you are getting no output. Somehow it is not activated. Your faith, your Christian life, is activated by output, by sharing it. It is important to share with someone else your experience and putting into practice what you have learned. There is a simple, basic principle that a person needs to repeat their learning experience 6 times in order for it to become a part of their life. So share. Share with those you know, your friend, your families. Or find a small group that you can share your spiritual journey with, because you cannot do it alone. This will also help to activate your faith as you share with your group the things you are learning and experiencing in God's Word. A woman began to attend my small group after repeated invitations. She didn't feel she had anything to offer the group and was feeling a bit intimidated. After she joined the group, she began to share and join in. Soon several in the group began to ask for her input. She is very knowledgeable and her insights were very helpful. She had a lot to offer the group. She didn't realize the gift she had in understanding and applying scripture to life circumstances until she became part of the group. She began to discover her own unique gifts and who she was only when she experienced the input from others. But that only happened as she gave output, as she shared her own experiences and her own life, and then activated her own faith and her own faith journey. Hebrews 12:1 tells us to lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. What is an encumbrance? Those struggles that keep us stuck and hinder us from living our life with joy and peace. It's the fruit of the Spirit. It's love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We all have those particular soul struggles that keep hounding us. We are to lay them aside. We do that by identifying, applying, assimilating, and activating. What kind of race is God talking about? This is not a sprint. It's not a 100-yard dash. This is an obstacle course. There are things in the way that could take us out of the race. What is God's desire? It is not to compete with anyone or to win over someone else. It is to finish. He has set a course before us. Will we finish? Will we finish frustrated, angry, or bitter? Or will we finish with a solid faith that God has worked his maturity into our life. Hebrews 12:1 tells us that God is working in us to bring us to maturity. There is a purpose for the struggle. I am to run my race with hope in God. I am not to quit. James 1, 1-3 says we are to count it all joy because these struggles will bring us to maturity. The only way to grow up is to struggle. So how much intimacy do you want with God? How deep do you want to go? You must apply, assimilate, and activate in order for that movement toward intimacy to take place. Let him speak to your heart. There is so much deeper to go with him than we can never go deep enough to the full depth of his love. Sometimes we choose to stay in the shallows, and yet he longs for us to move deeply into his love. He longs for intimacy with you. So what is your soul struggle? What will you do with what you've heard? Will you move toward intimacy with God? Will you apply? Will you assimilate? Will you activate? What action will you decide to take in order to move toward that intimacy with God that he so desires with you?
Thank you for listening to The Soul Struggle with Janet Gosman. Janet is an international speaker and biblical counselor in the Portland metro area, specializing in depression, anxiety, and abuse issues. To contact Janet, call 503-658-6639. That's 503-658-6639. Visit her website for more information and resources at soulstruggle.com. Soulstruggle.com. Heartache. Broken.